In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, there was Paul Brown.
Paul Brown transformed the game.
Hello, Paul Brown here. Welcome to the first ever International Browns Podcast. Morning, Cleveland. I'm here with an international superstar from the West Coast of America. I'm here with Jennifer Matthews. Jennifer, how are you?
I'm doing great. I don't know about that intro. They're going to be like, wait, who are we here for? No superstar, but yes, from Los Angeles. But yeah.
To all the Browns fans in the world, and especially in America, obviously they all love your family and yeah. Obviously, it was a huge honor seeing your dad collecting his award this year. And I saw you on TV. I saw you, and it was great. But yeah, thank you very much for your time. I just wanted to. We're a Browns podcast. You know everything. You know loads about the NFL. What's your first reactions of Kevin joining the Browns?
You know what? It's so funny. How crazy has Twitter been throughout this like coaching search? I'm like, oh my gosh, you think people have like inside info? There's like so-and-so heard this rumor, there's false information. It's so wild. You know what? I'm going to give him a chance. Like, he's a new guy. He hasn't, you know, I think to judge any coach just on one game, that is not fair, nor is it realistic. But you know what? I am Team Browns for life and I am a huge fan. And so I'm going to give him a chance. So welcome to Cleveland, Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, I've got to say Twitter's been crazy over the last week, really. And I'm glad we've got a guy. I'm glad it took a little bit of time. And reports are that he's now in Brea. He signed a 5-year contract. So we're backing him. And it sounds like he's going to be a manager like Haslam did with Hugh Jackson, 2-3 years, really back the guy. And give him some time to, even though we don't have time, he's going to give him time to see what he can do there. So,
but that's important because it's hard in 1 year to turn an organization around, especially a young team. There's a lot of talent on the Browns, but they are a very young team, and that takes time to establish. You're everything really. So, I mean, I'm excited. I know we've all been through the ringer as Browns fans. It's so hard. But you know what? There is no other fan base like the Browns. I mean that because there are a lot of people who would never stick around through some of the things we've been through. And I feel like we have hardcore, legit, no bandwagon, you know what I mean? Awesome fans who know football. As my dad said, he's like, they know football better than any other fan base and are passionate. So I'm excited.
Yeah. You say that though, but the last 7 days, some of them Browns fans have been suicidal. They're like on the edge about, we wanted Josh McDaniels. I did a poll, Jennifer, and there was nearly 3,000 people and 65% were unhappy with the choice. But I think it won't be long until the Browns fans start coming around. Joe Thomas gave him a great...
I saw that
recommendation. So he's going to town on that. So
yeah, you know what? I root for him. You know, it's like, it's been a lot of turnover and that's difficult. And then it's like, okay, the coach is gone. And then Dorsey's gone. It's like, okay, now the GM's gone. Like, what's going on? And I'm sure the players, I mean, think about how us fans felt. Imagine the players too going, oh my gosh, this is like, what is my future hold? All of that. But you know what? They have someone in place. So it's like, that is behind them. And then I think they can just really focus on getting things together in the off season and then heading into OTAs and the draft and whatnot.
Yeah, it's 100% official. The Cleveland Browns just a second have tweeted. He's signing it. So it's all
okay.
All good.
Did you breaking the news, breaking the pictures?
Well, here we go. I don't know if Wade Phillips is still in LA and if you know him well, but he's being linked as a DC candidate for the Browns.
And he would be amazing. I love Wade. He is one of the top defensive coordinators of all time. He obviously has the experience. I mean, he's in his mid-70s. And since Clay, my brother Clay, signed with the Rams last year, that was his D coordinator, and he really enjoyed him. And I like the way, personally, on a personal note, that Wade, you know, utilized my brother in their defense and let him just kind of pass rush and get back to what he's best at. So I think Wade would be an incredible hire for any team as a D coordinator, for sure.
I get lots and lots of listeners that love your dad in that era. Tell us a few stories. Sorry for putting you on the spot. Tell us a few stories about being a child. How old were you when your dad signed for the Browns? And what were like your first memories?
Yeah. Well, he played with the Browns since I was born.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was unbelievable. But I have all sorts of memories from, like, you know, one year around Halloween, they brought the families in and we were trick-or-treating in the locker rooms, and the players would sit at their lockers and hand out candy. And I remember Bernie Kosar handed out really good candy, which is super random. Okay.
It's good to know.
These are important things, right? And my brothers were obsessed with Eric Metcalf. They, like, so all of them were like, wore number 21 when they were younger, and they loved to meet, you know, hang out with him and get, oh gosh, they'd come out of the locker room with all sorts of sweaty, like, game gloves. I'm like, I don't want those near me. But no, I have great memories. I also have memories of, I was really, really young, but, you know, around the fumble and the drive, I didn't understand the magnitude because I was so young, but I do remember as a young girl praying and being like, God, please let us beat John Elway and the Broncos, because, you know, my dad's a nice man. You know, this is like the logic of like a five-year-old. My dad's like a nice man, and you know, I'm sick of them losing. And my friends, when I got older, was like, Jennifer, that is like rare. You know, like, six-year-old girls typically don't care about football, nor do they pray about football. So yeah, we have all sorts of memories. And we'd drive, my family, like, my dad would obviously get there early for the games, and then my family and I would load into our family car and we'd blast the Rolling Stones and like head on down to the stadium. And there's no feeling like, you know, when they're getting ready, the game's getting ready to start and you're all nervous too. I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm on the field. And, you know, we're all nervous and excited. And then, you know, if they'd introduce the defense and they'd be like, and Clay Matthews, and to hear the fans erupt and to see all the number 57 jerseys was unbelievable. It was so cool. So that's something that I will cherish forever. And really, when we went back this year for the Ring of Honor, my dad was so blown away, so humbled by the reaction from the fans. I mean, it was unreal. And I was too, I mean, it took everything in me not to like completely fall apart. But, you know, we were walking on the field at one point because he had to do when I was the dog pound captain, and we're walking along the outside of the field and the fans are just erupting. And my dad was so choked up. So it's a special place. It was an amazing place to grow up, and it's a special fan base. And my family, the Matthews family, we're you know, Browns fans for life.
Yeah, I remember your brother, he just finished his game and he came out and saw his dad.
I know, yeah. So yeah, at halftime he was able to sneak out like a little early, and they were running behind with the program. So yeah, that was perfect, which I had asked him to do, but I didn't know if he'd be able to do timing wise. And I'm like, just do your best. And the way, it couldn't have been scripted any better. It was so cool to see that.
And I know it's too early to say, but how do you think the Browns can do next year? Do you think they're going to be a 500 plus team, or do you think we need a bit of time just to bed in?
It's so hard to predict. I do think they'll be better, you know, have a better record than 500. However, you know, you have another new head coach. It's like, you know, that's the tough part about the high rate of turnover, is that, like I said earlier, it takes time to establish a culture, a winning culture, a disciplined culture. And so, you know, I foresee, like I said earlier, also, there's a lot of talent, but they're very young. So it's also like, okay, how do we figure out, you know, the best way to get Baker Mayfield to gel? What system works for him, and OBJ and Jarvis Landry and Nick Chubb and, you know, and Kareem Hunt? There's all the, you know, there's so many people. And so I think I have high hopes. I think one of the problems with last year, and I think the media was a big part of this problem, was that the expectations going into last season were so astronomically high that it was kind of like they were being set up to fail. So anything less than, you know, Super Bowl was like, oh gosh. But, you know, with that being said, I think if people have realistic expectations, and I know it's hard, believe me, because I'm living through it, and it's frustrating. And you're like, all right, we've lost long enough. We want to be good. We want to be competitive. We want to go back to the days where we were contenders every year, where we were top in the AFC. And I have high hopes, but I also just want to be realistic with expectations and predicting, you know.
Yeah, I think the sign of hope for me is that the Packers coach, he's new in, not the best of records before he's come in and taken the team. The Packers and the Browns were very similar. I think they had 6 or 7 wins last year. It's a little bit, I think, below us. But now they've excelled and in the playoffs are in a good position. And so, yeah, that gives us some hope as Browns fans. So, fingers crossed.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think of it like that. Yeah, and you know what? First-year coaches, you know, some coaches I feel like have the ability. Sean McVay, the Rams coach, is one of them. To immediately get people to buy into their program, buy into their beliefs, buy into their systems, and say, hey, look, this has worked in the past. So let's all get on board. Let's all be on the same page. Let's all work hard and let's figure out kind of how to gel as a unit.
Jennifer, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know that you're a fantasy guru, for example, but...
I like long walks on the beach. No, I'm just kidding. I do like long walks on the beach on a side note. No, that was random. I am the director of development and sports partnerships for a nonprofit called Prison Fellowship. So we serve men and women in prison and their families on the outside of prison as well. So we bring in programming and all sorts of awesome resources. So I am on the fundraising side with our major donors. And then I also handle our sports partnerships. So like when we teamed up with the Rams twice this year, that was... that fell under my wheelhouse. And then I also am a sports broadcaster. So I used to do that full time and I was on TV on various networks. And then now I kind of do that on the side. So I currently am doing work for SiriusXM. So I'm one of their female fantasy football girl. And I do a show every Saturday. And then I also call in all throughout the week and do shows then. And I really, really enjoy that. I love fantasy football. And then just kind of, I started spearheading my dad's, you know, Hall of Fame campaign about 2 years ago. So that's like a third full-time job and, love to travel. I've been on mission trips all over the world. I've worked in orphanages. I've worked with the deaf community. I'm super passionate about the special needs community, children with cancer. I love older people and visiting homes. I love working with the homeless. So for me, I'm just super passionate about serving. And that's a huge part of my life and a huge part of how we were raised to, you know, we've been very, very blessed and very fortunate and God's been really good to us. And so it's my honor and privilege and responsibility to really serve, especially some of the groups who are, you know, marginalized or overlooked. So I'm always doing something with that. And then it's fun to link all my, you know, plug all my family members in and my brothers and dad and uncle and mom, and everyone's very supportive. And so that's huge on my heart.
That's absolutely awesome. And every year I think to myself, I need to do more for charity. Last year I helped out with a guy from Cleveland who had cancer and did some fundraising for him. Freddie Kitchen turned up to the fundraiser events. That was good.
I saw that. That's so awesome. You know what? That speaks volumes about him. You know what I mean? Like that's legit. That's so cool.
And I met Freddie offline a couple of times, 3 times. And every time I met him, he was such a nice down to earth person. He knew my name. Yeah. I know it sounds stupid, but he knew my name. And
amazing.
Yeah. And you're just super nice. And I know 2020, I want to do a lot more for charity. So if there's anything that I can ever do.
Let me know. And next time you're in the States. Freddie Kitchens was all, I mean, we didn't meet him until, I mean, granted he was a first year coach, but we hadn't met him until we went back for the Ring of Honor, and he could not have been more gracious and or more kind or, you know, speak more highly of my dad. So we, you know, he was wonderful and lovely to us. So I wish him all the best, and I hope he lands somewhere awesome.
You said you like traveling. I've seen that you've been in London. Tell us, what made you come to London?
Okay. So I went to Europe this summer. So I went to Italy. I called it my leave no car behind tour. I ate my way through Italy and it was so dreamy. So I had like pasta and pizza and, you know, all the stuff, gelato. And then I went to Austria. My friend got married in the Alps. And then I went to Germany. So then I got this like crazy, like traveling abroad bug, even though I've been all over the world, but I hadn't been to Europe. I'd like skipped Europe, Africa and Australia and then random places like Bora Bora. And anyways. And so when I saw the Rams schedule come out, I thought, oh my gosh, Clay plays the Bengals in London. Like, I have never been to an international NFL game. I don't know. You know, he's towards the end of his career. This was year 11. So it's not like he's going to play 20 years. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to go. Well, he ended up breaking his jaw like 2 weeks before in the Seahawks game when I was in Seattle. But I thought, you know what? I'm going anyways. So I met a friend who lives in Rome. We met up and I absolutely fell in love. I thought the people were lovely. I loved everything. I was being such a tourist, taking pictures everywhere. They're like, she's probably American. You know, I would just stop strangers because I flew there by myself. Like, excuse me, will you take a picture of me in front of this phone booth? And they're like, oh, dear heavens, you know, like these people. But yeah, I mean, there's tons of history and I absolutely loved it. It was a quick trip though. So I want to go back and like really spend some more time.
So I classically travel on my own, like yourself.
Yeah,
and
okay.
I normally come for 48 hours to America.
Okay, so. That is wild. I can't believe that. Now I leave for, I'm going to go to Thailand and Bali in about 3 weeks. And then first I have to go to Miami for Super Bowl. And then I have to go to six other places in between now and right after then for work. But yeah, so Southeast Asia is next up. And I
have you got a schedule for Bali yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't done my itinerary yet. One of my girlfriends and I are going, and we are so excited because this has been my other dream trip. And I want to go to Israel in August. But yeah, I'm super excited. I love to travel. And you know what? I'm young. I'm single. I'm not married. I don't have any kids. So I'm like, now's the time to do all of this. So I take full advantage. I go to as many of my brother and cousins' games as I can, try to get back for some Browns games, and then just, you know, travel abroad, do the mission trips. I try to squeeze in as much vacation as I can. Anytime I have, you know, some vacation time accrued, I'm like, all right, I'm going somewhere.
Excellent. And Bali, there's a place called the Gili Islands. It's one of the most magical places in the world. Really? It's an island off Bali, so there's a top tip.
Is this near the James Bond Island? Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I've been to there. So, not many people know this actually. I don't really talk about travel, but I've been to 62 countries in the world, and my life goal is 100 countries. So,
do it. I love it.
Yeah, but Thailand's a beautiful place. James Bond Island is very touristy, but the beaches around there are absolutely amazing. So
that's what I'm looking forward to. And in Thailand, I'm like, I want to go hang out with the elephants. I want to do all these amazing things.
How long have you got for Thailand and Bali?
So a week in each. I would love longer, but with work, I can't. I'm going to squeeze as much in. We're going to do Thailand. We're going to do Bangkok and then Phuket and then head down to Bali. So
okay. When I was 19, I flew into Bangkok and I traveled all the way downland through Singapore, Java, and then into Bali, and then I flew to Australia. It's kind of a British thing to do, is do backpacking and through Asia. So it was amazing.
I love travel. I love it. And then when I can combine it with, you know, like an opportunity to serve and give back, that's even better. So I've been all over the world doing that, and orphanages in Haiti and with the deaf community in Mexico and all over Africa. I built schools and homes and brought in medicine and just spent time with the people around the world and have absolutely loved it and been very, very blessed and encouraged walking away. You know, it's like I always set out hoping I can just serve people in some way, and more often than not I walk away feeling like I was the one who who was blessed, you know, which is wasn't my intention. So
do you know what, that's absolutely awesome. And I need to kick up my butt and do more this year for charity, because I don't do enough. And this is the last question, and it's very unlike me to swear on this podcast, but I think it needs to be. How pissed off were you that your dad didn't make Hall of Fame this year?
You know, it's such an emotional roller coaster. And I thought this year, I thought between the Ring of Honor and just now that he was starting to get more recognition for his career. Cause here's the challenge. And here's why I don't think he's currently in. One, you know, he is such a humble guy. You know, he's not in the media. He's not on social media. He's just a guy who loved to play football, like hardworking, blue collar. He would show up. And when he retired, he went to being a family man and to coaching and to business. And, you'll never hear him out talking about himself or how great his career was. And honestly, in some ways, I think that's hurt him because people don't realize the magnitude of what he accomplished. And so initially, as I started looking at his stats and comparing them to other you know, current linebackers, Hall of Fame linebackers. I was like, this is absolute madness that he's not in. Beyond him just being my dad, I was like, break it down and look at the numbers and take all emotion out of it. This is unreal. You know, and he has so many records. It's like number one, you know, games played, 278 for a linebacker in NFL history. Number three for number of tackles in NFL history with 1,561, I think. And the two that are above him were middle linebackers who tend to get more, you know, tackles and over 80 sacks and 27 forced fumbles and 14 fumble recoveries and 16 interceptions. And the thing with him was he wasn't even allowed to like pass rush until years into his career. He was often asked to drop into coverage. And so if they would have really let him play as like a true outside linebacker, you know, who knows what, I mean, his numbers would have even been on another level. But, you know, as I've met people, usually the response I get is people go, oh, I thought he was already in. And yep. I'm like, I know. So, you know, it will happen. And I have a good attitude and he is so gracious. And so, you know, it'd be the greatest honor, but he's so humble. And this year, you know, there were so many positive things to take away, you know, mainly the Ring of Honor and just the fans and their, like I said, absolutely beyond humbling for my dad. And so I think there's a lot of positive things to build on. And, you know, and then in other positive news, the Hall of Fame, you know, reaches out and says, look, we're doing this first ever fan fest in March in Canton at the Hall of Fame, and we'd like your dad to participate. And it's with five Hall of Famers. So I'm like, stuff like that is so, they don't just ask anyone, and why they have five Hall of Famers and my dad. So, I mean, he belongs there. I believe he will be there. And you know what? I'm not just saying this. I get so pumped when I think of the day that he gets inducted, because Cleveland, like, we are going to take over Canton and it is going to be unbelievable. And we're going to show the Hall of Fame how it's done. Because when my uncle was inducted in, I believe it was 2007, even then people knew my dad was going to be there. So there were numerous Browns fans that showed up in their 57 jerseys. And I was surprised because I wasn't even thinking of that. I was like, well, it's my uncle and it's, you know, my dad's been retired for a while. And, but they showed up in droves and were, you know, wanted to get pictures and autographs. And so, you know, I just think of that day and I think of, you know, the TV is going to like pan the stadium and they're going to be like, oh my goodness, where did Cleveland show up today? So I know it's going to be unreal.
Well, here's a promise for you. When your dad gets in, I'm going to try my damn hardest to fly from London to be there. So
love it. You have to. It's going to be a big party. It'll be so fun. So fun. The whole family will be there.
Excellent. Well, Jennifer, it's been such lovely speaking to you, and the whole Browns community obviously loves you and I'm sure they're all following you, but where can people find your details if they're not?
Yeah, they are the best. I love meeting all my Browns people. So the best way is probably Twitter and then probably secondly, Instagram. And my handle on both of those is Jen Matthews 57. So JennMatthews 57. It's my handle on the Twitter, as I call it, and on Instagram. So I love to connect. I love seeing all the fun pictures, hearing stories, meeting the people who were named after my dad. Like, that's super fun. So yeah, it's been a really fun way to connect. And I so, you know, wholeheartedly appreciate all the Browns fans.
Excellent. And when you're in London next?
I got to get that on the schedule. I have these two big trips coming up, so I'm trying to get that, but we'll have to meet up next time I'm there, and I'll have to be there for more than like 4.5 days.
No worries. Last question. What was your highlight in London?
Oh my gosh.
And don't say Harrods.
No. Tea at Harrods. I did do that though. Gosh, I just liked walking around and seeing all the beautiful architecture and then just some of the tours I was able to do, and then like seeing the castle and then just some of that stuff. I think on the way home, I like became intrigued with the royal family. So on the way home, I'm watching like Princess Diana documentaries and the whole deal. But yeah, it's an unbelievable place and I would encourage anyone to go there. And I look forward to going back.
Here's a statement for you. You're like the Cleveland Princess Diana.
Oh, high praise. High praise. I don't know if I'm on that level, but I'll take it.
All right, Jennifer, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
I look forward to meeting you somewhere in the world.
Yes, meet in person. Yes, go Browns. Thanks.
Go Browns. Thank you very much.